Amen. Well, I appreciate you worshiping our Lord together. It's a wonderful blessing, is it not? To gather together on the Lord's Day and to worship not a dead Saviour, not a dead prophet or teacher, but a risen Saviour who is in our midst this evening. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 11. Now, for those of you joining us for the first time on Sunday nights, we've been looking at the subject of the miracles of Christ. We've been going through each miracle and learning some wonderful lessons from the Bible. Now, on this Easter Sunday, I can't think of a more fitting miracle to be encouraged by than here in John chapter 11 concerning the miracle of Lazarus raised from the dead. So we're going to enjoy this wonderful miracle and testimony of our Lord. We'll jump around to a few verses from chapter 11. Let's read verses 1 to 3. And then we'll read a few more verses. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. John chapter number 11, beginning in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped her feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. There in verse number 14, then Jesus said unto them, his disciples, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Verse 23 to 26, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this evening, Lord, we are so thankful of the wonderful miracles in the Bible. Thank you, dear God, that you have given us your precious holy word, that our hearts may be stirred and challenged, that you may speak to us supernaturally through your word this evening. Lord, help our hearts to be softened. Help us, Lord, to be open to the word of God this evening. Lord, only you know the need of our hearts tonight. Pray that the Spirit of God would minister to our greatest need through your word. And Lord, we pray that you would be glorified by our response to the word of God this evening. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I heard about a man who was once speaking to a Hindu priest, and he asked this Hindu priest a question. He said, could you say, as a Hindu priest, that I am the resurrection and the life? Well, yes, replied the priest, I could say that, sure. But then asked the man, could you make anyone believe it? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ not only claimed to be the resurrection and the life, but you see, the Lord Jesus Christ backed up his words with his very actions. You see, the Bible tells us that the Lord's claim is a very great claim. Imagine you or I are claiming to be the one who has the power to raise people from the dead. That would be an impossible claim. In fact, that would be even a ridiculous claim. But the Lord Jesus Christ made this bold claim here in John chapter number 11. And as we look at the events surrounding the raising of Lazarus from the dead, we're going to be encouraged tonight that the Lord not only made the claim, but he backed up the claim with his miraculous supernatural works. Tonight we're looking at the miracle of Lazarus raised from the dead from the book of John, chapter number 11. Now as we begin, I want you to notice the condition of Lazarus. As the Lord Jesus Christ was in Galilee, he received news of someone he loved, whom the Bible tells us named Lazarus, was sick. Lazarus was not dead, he was sick at that point. And the Lord was sent news to come quickly to come and help. Was sent news to come, and no doubt Mary and Martha, whom also the Lord loved, were hoping that Lazarus would recover. That the Lord would come and Lazarus would revive and come back to full health. But as the Lord spoke in verse number 14, knowing all things, there in verse 14, Jesus saith unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You see, poor old Lazarus, who was sick, had now died. And here in the Scriptures, we don't have time to read the full account, but we can see that a great loss had come into the home of Mary and Martha. They were very sorrowful. They were weeping. The once happy home was now in grief, and someone that they had loved so dearly was now snatched from their presence, and they were in mourning. And first of all, I'd like us to notice this evening the condition of Lazarus. You see, Lazarus was no longer sick. He was dead. And this evening we see that death is a tragic event. Death is a tragic event. You know, whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, the word death still fulfills its meaning, which means separation. If death has ever come into your home, you would have experienced the reality that death separates. Separates lives and friends and family. Death brings a measure of sorrow. Though as Christians we sorrow not as those that have no hope, we still do sorrow, do we not? Death is a tragic event. When someone dies, they are removed from our presence. I remember growing up as a teenager, to be honest with you, I didn't really come face to face with death much. My grandparents had passed on when I was much younger, and no one around me had passed away. I hadn't been to any funerals. But I remember when I was at university, there was an elderly lady, a friend of my parents, whom was getting on in her age, and I was there to, I was asked to help her out with the shopping and do a few things around the home. And she wanted me to drive her to the shop. She could no longer drive. And about once every couple of weeks, I would go over and visit her. And she would, instead of paying me, she would let me use her car as well. And I learnt how to drive using her car, and she was a blessing to me also. I remember one funny story. I was washing the car one day, and we ran out of Windex, a window cleaner, and I asked her if she had any inside. And she went inside, and as I peered through the window, I saw a shocking sight. She had found an aerosol can, a spray can of window cleaner, and she was trying to puncture it with a knife. And so I quickly ran in here. Thankfully, I stopped her and had to explain to her what happens when you puncture an aerosol can with a knife. And we got to know each other, and I got to know her a little bit, this elderly lady, and she was a dear friend. And I remember at school coming home one day and my mum telling me that this dear lady had passed away. And to be honest, I didn't really feel a greatness of sorrow at that point. I was trying to just set it in the back of my mind, and that's what we often do when it comes to death. We try to pretend that it doesn't happen, and that's the way we move forward. But at the end of the day, death is still a sorrowful event. And I went over to the house, and I helped my mum pack up a few things and make sure the power was off. And as we were in the home, as we were doing a few things in the house, suddenly the phone rang. And we didn't make much of it. We let it ring, but then the answering machine came on. And her voice came over the phone, this dear old lady. And it was in that moment that I began to weep. I began to cry because it was almost as if her voice speaking from the grave. And I finally realized and suddenly realized that death is a tragic event. It's a sorrowful event. When that person is removed, depending on who that is, we don't know if we will ever see them again. Depending on our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't know whether we will see them. And they're suddenly removed. You know, death is a tragic event. When Mary came to the Lord Jesus Christ, she was weeping. In fact, the Bible tells us the reason why we know the first and the shortest verse in the Bible. Look at verse 35 with me. Here we find in John chapter 11, the shortest verse in the Bible is made up of two words. What are those two words? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He wept for Lazarus. He wept for Lazarus, a dear friend, and we see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, death is not a natural occurrence. The world will say, well, we all need to die one day. It's just part of life. No, my friends, death is a tragic event. In fact, death is a universal event. Notice Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. You see, death was never God's plan for mankind. Hebrews chapter 9 in your Bibles. Thank you for turning with me there. You know, the Bible speaks of death so that you and I may prepare, because it will come. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die." You see, death is universal. There is not one person that could say they can escape death by their own power or their own means. And the Bible says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this," what are the next words? "The judgment." You see, this verse reminds us that there is a reason for death. And it's not just a natural occurrence. My friends, death is a tragic event. It is an unnatural event. It is the result of sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Why is death so tragic? Because it's the result of sin. Adam sinned. And death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, you and I are all sinners this evening. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." We may look good on the outside this evening, but God sees our hearts tonight. He sees every lie we've ever told. He sees every hateful thought we've ever thought. The Lord Jesus Christ said, even a lustful thought in the heart of man is just like committing the act of adultery in our hearts. The thought of hate is just like committing the act of murder. You see, we try to pretend that sin is not so bad and those lies are just white lies, but the Lord sees lies as an abomination in His sight. You see, God is a holy God, and when we see sin in the light of His holiness, we understand that the wages, the payment, the penalty for sin is death. There is no escaping death. It's a tragic event. It's a universal event. It is also an unexpected event. You know, Mary and Martha didn't expect Lazarus to die, did they? No, they were hoping that he would recover. They were hoping that he would come back to life. Lazarus's death was sudden and unexpected. And it's amazing, even though we know death is coming, we try to pretend that it isn't, don't we? We try to pretend that perhaps for me it may not even happen. But death comes suddenly. It comes unexpectedly. And being under the sound of the Word of God this evening, let me encourage you, don't be unprepared for death. Don't be unprepared for death. Now, our greatest need is not life insurance. Amen? Now, those on the TV will say, hey, death might happen. Well, it's a certainty, in fact. It will happen. And the greatest need of our preparation is the preparation of our soul. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Friends, we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. We might look at the weather and say, okay, that's what the weather will be. But even here in Cairns, it can be the opposite. How much more what will happen to our lives, we don't know. Today may be the very last day. It is an unexpected event. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. Here in Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 16, the Lord teaches a parable about an unprepared man. An unprepared man who tried to pretend that death was not going to come for him, but one day when it came, he wasn't ready. The Bible says in verse 16, "He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." So he was a rich man who had much goods. And he said to himself in verse 17, what shall I do because I have no room? Where to bestow my fruits? And you see, his focus was on this life. He did not prepare his soul for eternity. He was not ready for death. He was focusing on his riches and his goods. In verse 19, he said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, how many of you have ever heard that phrase before?
Yeah,
eat, drink, and be merry. Have you ever wondered where it came from? Well, it's everywhere in the world today. My friends, it comes from the parable of the rich fool. You see, the rich fool said within himself, look, I've got so many riches, I may as well just eat, drink, and be merry. And people in the world today will say, hey, if you can afford that kind of lifestyle, you've done well. They will pat you on the back. They will encourage you to eat, drink, and be merry with them. But what does the Lord Jesus Christ say in this parable? The Bible says in verse number 20, but God said unto him, this rich man, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You see, this man's soul was unprepared. And the world will say, hey, this man is successful. But God will say, hey, this man is a fool. Because eternity is coming, my friends. Life is but a vapor. Death is a certainty. It is a tragic event. It is a universal event. It is an unexpected event. And we need to be prepared. Let me ask you this evening. Is your soul prepared to meet God? Now, we don't know when death will come. We don't know when it will happen. And we need to be 100% sure our soul is right with God. Let me ask you this evening, if you die today in this very moment, are you 100% sure that you are forgiven, that you've received Christ as your Savior, and that you are sure of your eternity in heaven to come? My friends, if you're not sure, let me encourage you to open your heart to what we will see next. You see, the condition of Lazarus was that he was dead. But then the Lord makes an amazing claim. The Lord makes an amazing claim that in fact would come forth and be a claim that would change the world and change the souls of mankind forever. Here we see that Jesus wept. He reminds us that he cares for our soul. His desire is not to be separated from this world and to be separated from God for all eternity in a place called the lake of fire, a place we deserve to go because our sins are so offensive in the sight of God. No, Christ's desire is that we would come to him for salvation. This evening we've seen the condition of Lazarus. We'll notice the claim of Jesus. The claim of Jesus. Verse number 23, we've read it already. Let's look again. Back in John chapter number 11. Are you still with me tonight? John chapter number 11, appreciate you turning back there. Verse 23, as Martha came to Jesus, and she said to the Lord, Lord, if you would have come earlier, if you would have come sooner, then maybe my brother would still be alive. Now, we could learn much from that. The Lord's delays are not the Lord's denials. Sometimes the Lord delays for a reason. You see, there was a reason that Lazarus died. You see, Lazarus was a believer, and the Lord Jesus Christ was going to prove the claims of himself, of his announcement right here to be true. Verse number 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now it's fair enough, I believe, for you and I to ask the question, what right did the Lord Jesus Christ have to make this claim? What right did he have to say that I am the resurrection and the life? Because you see, the Lord Jesus was saying that he possesses the power within his own self to rise from the dead, to raise others from the dead, to grant to others eternal life. What right did he have to make such claims? Well, what does the Bible say? Mark chapter number 5. Notice the book of Mark chapter number 5. We see the claim of Christ, but what right did he have to make this claim? Well, in the book of Mark, notice with me, Mark chapter number 5, verses 41 to 42. Here we see Jairus' daughter and the miracle that the Lord performed here. Verse 41 says, "And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise." You see, the Bible tells us that this young girl, Jairus' daughter, was dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ came in, even though everyone thought that the case was lost and she was dead and she was gone, and they were weeping and mourning and mocking Christ. And verse number 42 says, "And straight away the damsel arose and walked. For she was of age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had the right to make the claim that he is the resurrection and the life, because he raised others from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead in Luke chapter 7. And then back in John chapter number 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, the Lord didn't just say that he had the power to do great things, as perhaps a religious leader might attract people unto themselves and say, "This is my claim, follow me." No, the Lord Jesus backed up his claims with his mighty works. He raised the dead to life again. Notice also, Jesus promises to raise his followers from the dead. The Lord Jesus promises to raise his followers from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Now, I hope you don't mind, we're doing a little Bible study this evening, looking at a few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why don't we read verse 22 aloud together? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice the promise given in verse number 22. Let's read it out loud together on two, shall we? 1, 2. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, the Bible tells us that those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior can have the confidence that they have eternal life in this life. Amen. And when we die as Christians, my friends, that is not a loss. That is, in fact, a victory, because Christ has risen, Christ has gained the victory over the grave, and we know that we will be risen to live forever with him. You see, Christ not only raised others from the dead, he promises to raise his followers from the dead also. Amen. What a wonderful truth. Here in John chapter 11, as we turn back, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." You see, Christ himself is the resurrection and the life. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And of course, this promise is based upon the fact that Christ himself rose from the dead. If you were here this morning, you would have remembered that the women went to the tomb. They went to anoint the body of Jesus. They weren't expecting to see an empty tomb. They were expecting to find a sealed tomb. They were bewildered and confused how they could possibly roll the stone away from the door. But when they approached, they realized that the tomb was open. The tomb was empty. And an angel was there that declared the wonderful truth that Christ is risen from the dead. Now, we know that the women could not steal the Lord's body because they couldn't roll away the stone. We know the disciples would not do it because they were in hiding and afraid. And we know that the Roman guards were posted outside, and suddenly, supernaturally, when the women arrived, the tomb was open. The guards had been rendered unconscious, and the angel stood before them, declaring the wonderful news that Christ is risen. You see, the one buried in that tomb over 2,000 years ago was no ordinary man. If he was simply a criminal on the cross that the Romans had crucified, then he would still be in that tomb. My friends, the Bible tells us that the one in that tomb so long ago was not just a man. He was the Son of God. God in the flesh, who came down to this world for one purpose: to take upon himself your sins and mine upon that cross. You see, he is the perfect Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life. There was no sin in him. In fact, when the Jews brought him before Pontius Pilate, the governor said to him, "Look, I find no fault in him. There's no reason for him to be crucified." Why did the Jews want to crucify him? Many would say today that Jesus was just a good teacher. He taught many good things. You know, good things that we should follow. But many forget the reason why the Jews brought him to the Romans to be crucified. Why? What was his offense? What was his blasphemy? He made himself out to be God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I and my Father are one." And they didn't want to accept that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But thank God he still went to that cross. Thank God he still paid in full for your sins and mine. And then on the third day, miraculously, supernaturally, by his own power, he rose again from the dead. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior we can trust in. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ cares. And the greatest expression of his love was expressed upon the cross. And the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But God commendeth," or showed, "his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, and we deserved the greatness of his wrath, Christ died for us." My friends, Resurrection Sunday is a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day to thank God for his love. To thank Christ that he went to the cross and he did not stay there, my friends. He was buried, and then on the third day he conquered death, he conquered sin, he conquered hell, so that you and I may have a living Savior this evening, that we may call upon for salvation once and for all. You see, Christ has conquered death. He raised others from the dead. He promised his followers that they will have eternal life in him, and he himself proved his claims to be true by rising from the dead. He proved it. The question is, believest thou this? What will we do with the claims of Jesus Christ? Will we believe his claims and experience the gift of eternal life? Or will we reject his claims? You see, Christ is the resurrection and the life. And the Bible tells us, if we would simply acknowledge that we are sinners, and we have offended God with our sins. Yes, we are all the same, and in one another's sight we would say we are good people. But if I were to stand right next to Jesus Christ tonight, it would be very obvious who is good and who is not. I would be a condemned sinner in the eyes of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ would be pure and holy and spotless and sinless without fault. God is a holy God. And my friends, we have all sinned. But thank God in his love, he paid for our sins once and for all. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How many of you are like me? That's your favorite verse in the Bible. Romans 10:13, it's very simple. If we repent of our sins and we turn to Christ by faith, and we put our faith and trust in him to save us once and for all, the Bible says, "For whosoever," anyone and everyone, in any culture, in any nation, with any background, with any upbringing, if they believe in the gospel that Christ is the resurrection and the life, and simply call out to him for salvation once and for all, they are saved. Amen. Redeemed. Yep. Bought back from the slave market of sin. Forgiven for their past, present and future sins, not by anything that we have done, but by the precious shed blood, the payment for our sins of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if Christ only died on the cross and was buried, then today we would have hope only in this life. We would hope in a Savior that was dead. We would have no hope of eternal life. But because he rose again from the dead, we have hope beyond the grave. We know for a surety that by trusting in Christ and experiencing the supernatural resurrection that the Lord describes as being born again, the forgiveness of sin, we know that Christ lives in us. And if we die in this life, my friends, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You see, the claims of Christ are true. Let me ask you this evening, have you accepted the claims of Christ? Many people have accepted them in their head, but not in their heart. You know, the difference between knowing about Christ and believing in him is the difference between an eternity in hell and eternity in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Except ye repent and believe, you will likewise perish." We must receive him as our personal Savior. You know, on May the 7th, 2005, that was the day that I realize that I was a sinner. I deserve God's judgment. But in that moment of dread and in that moment of fear, realizing I was one breath away from that unexpected event called death, I was also one breath away from that miraculous event called salvation. I simply needed to cry out to Jesus Christ and accept His claims once and for all. Accept Him as my personal Savior. And that was the night that I received Him. That was the night my life changed. And the rest is history. The rest is history. I trust that there's been a time in your life that you heard the claims of Christ and you chose to respond to the gospel and asked Him to save you once and for all. You see, the claims of Christ are there. But the question of Christ is, believest thou this? Will you believe that He died, was buried, and rose again from the dead? Now, it doesn't matter how many historical facts, biblical facts, scientific facts we can bring out, and yes, there are many. At the end of the day, by grace are you saved through faith. If we're not willing to trust in the Word of God, we cannot be saved. It is by faith that we believe. But let me guarantee you, the moment that you trust in Christ by faith, He comes to live within you. They ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. That's the testimony of every Christian. Death is coming. That's the example of Lazarus. Christ has made a wonderful claim, and He lives today to save from sin. If you're not sure about your eternity, let me encourage you to trust and believe in the claims of Christ and respond by faith by calling on Him today as your Savior. Now, if you are a Christian, let me encourage you to rejoice in what happens to Lazarus next. You see, what happens to Lazarus next is a preview, if you will, of the saved believer. Is a preview of what every Christian experiences and will experience. You see, the Bible tells us that Christ came to the grave of Lazarus. Martha was weeping. Mary was weeping. He came to the grave. The Jews around that had come to comfort the family knew the reality of death. They could not believe and would not believe that anything else was possible. But the Lord makes a wonderful and exciting claim that He did not put out there and leave, but He proved it by His wonderful, miraculous works. The Bible tells us that the claim of Jesus was followed up by the call of Lazarus. The call of Lazarus. Notice verse number 43. Now there are many details here we can look at, but we'll look at just a few as we close. Notice verse 43. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The Lord Jesus Christ cried to a dead man. He called out to a dead man, "Lazarus, come forth." Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Amen. This was the call of Lazarus. Lazarus was dead, but now is alive. Can you see that it was a powerful call? It's a powerful call. Lazarus was in the grave. And suddenly, he came forth. Lazarus was in the darkness, and suddenly, he walked out into the light. And you see, the Lord used this example of Lazarus rising from the dead as an example to all that Christ is the resurrection and life. We have eternal life in Him, not just in the eternity to come, but right now, if we trust Him as our Savior. If we've accepted Him as our Savior. You see, in Lazarus's resurrection, if you will, is a wonderful picture of the salvation of the believer. A wonderful picture. You see, the Bible tells us when we come to Christ for salvation, we who are once in our sins and in darkness and headed to an eternal death and separation from God are now brought from death unto life. Christ gives us eternal life in Him. We are born again by the Spirit of God. We are regenerated from within. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creature. We are spiritually regened. A supernatural miracle takes place where the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within each believer. And we are sealed with His presence. And we are saved by His power. You see, Lazarus was in the darkness of the tomb. But when he walked out into the marvelous light. And the Bible tells us that we who are once in darkness, if we've repented of our sins, are taken from that darkness of sin, that hopelessness of death, and that fear of an eternal separation from God, and we are carried over into His marvelous light. We are carried over into the kingdom of God, into His marvelous light. We are free from the chains of sin. You see, on that cross, Christ paid for the penalty of sin. But He also on that cross, died to break the power of sin also. Christ conquered death, my friends, and He proved that by rising from the dead, so that when we accept Christ as our Savior, the chains of sin are broken. We are redeemed, bought back to God, bought back from the slave market of sin. We become His child. And we are now able to live in Christ with a desire to live for Him. With an ability to say no to sin. Look, before I was a Christian, I was addicted to sin. I tried to do good and I kept falling back into it. I tried to do good again and I kept falling back into it. In fact, I love my sin. As a child, I loved to lie, to be honest. I loved to lie. I loved to, even better, I loved to get away with it when I was a child. I loved to fool people and pretend so clearly that I was telling the truth, but in fact I was lying. For the Bible is true, your sin will find you out. Sooner or later you'll get caught. And thank God that God showed me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. But you see, before I was saved, I enjoyed my sin, and now when Christ has saved me and I live a new life, I can see in my own life that the shackles of sin have been broken. Why? Because the next time I sin, I hate it. I hate it. Now, Christians are not perfect. We still sin. One day we'll be perfect in heaven. Thank God we don't earn our way to heaven. Our eternity is based upon the forgiveness of Christ alone. But you see, a change takes place. The temptation and the shackles of sin are broken, and we can now say no to sin. We can now live in victory. My friends, that's His resurrection power in our life. That's His resurrection power. We can abide in Christ. We can walk in the Spirit. And we can say no to the lusts of the flesh. The song we sing so lovingly, He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. You see, just like Lazarus was risen from the dead and he walked forth from the grave, and the Lord commanded Lazarus to be loosed from those grave clothes. He was finally free. My friends, that's the picture of the salvation of the believer. In that moment, we are born again by faith in Christ. We are free from the shackles of sin. We are free from the penalty of sin. We are free from the power of sin. And when we reach glory and we see Christ face to face, brethren, we'll be freed from the presence of sin. Thank God for His resurrection power. You see, it was a powerful call that Lazarus experienced. What a wonderful example that Christ is the resurrection and the life. Now, Lazarus was a believer, because notice with me, it was a personal call. If we're in John chapter 11, if you're still there, notice verse 43. What did the Lord say with a loud voice? Lazarus, come forth. You see, it was a personal call. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't just call anyone from the grave. He called Lazarus. He knew him by name. You know, one commentator has said this: if the Lord would simply have said at this point, some of you have read this before, if the Lord said at this point, come forth, and did not mention the name of Lazarus, every person that had died would come forth from the grave. You know, that is the power of the Word of God. That is the power of Christ. But here in this miracle, the Lord named Lazarus by name. You see, He knew Lazarus. He knew who he was. The Lord Jesus said, we see in this, in the Word of God, in the build-up to this miraculous event, that the Lord loved Lazarus. You see, what counts is not whether we know the name of Jesus Christ. What counts is whether He knows our name.
Amen.
Now, many people know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, sadly, to many, His name is simply another reason to swear. A word of blasphemy. Just another word to use when you hit your hand with a hammer. To blaspheme. To curse. The question isn't whether we know Christ's name. The question is whether He knows us. Does the Lord Jesus Christ know us? Do we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ based upon our certainty of salvation? Notice with me Matthew chapter number 7. as we draw to a close this evening, Matthew chapter number 7. Notice verses 22 to 23. Verse 22 says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" That means to teach or preach in thy name. "And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." So these are those who stand before the judgment of God. It is appointed unto man once to die. You see, death is a certainty. And the Bible says that the judgment is a certainty. And this is a foreview. The Lord is declaring what will happen. Many will stand before him on that day and say, "Lord, look at all that I've done for you." Verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, these are those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They were relying on their own good works. And they were relying on their own efforts. They were relying on their own false beliefs, if you will. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ warns us in the Word of God that it's not the emphasis is not whether we know His name, but the question is whether He knows us. Do we have a living relationship with the Lord? Has there been a time that you've been made spiritually alive in Jesus Christ? And you know that there was a difference from your past and there is a difference in the present because Jesus lives within you. And you know Him and you walk with Him. And you know for a certainty you have claimed His claim of eternal life. See, many will say unto me, "Lord, Lord." They know His name. But the Lord will say, "I never knew you." My friend, we need to be sure this evening. We need to be sure. Now, as Christians, we can rejoice if we are saved. If we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we can rejoice that He knows our name. We can rejoice that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can rejoice that we have eternal life. And you see, the Lord Jesus called Lazarus, and it was a personal call. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 that the Lord is coming again. And one day the Lord will issue another personal call. And it won't be a call for one person alone. It will be a call for every believer that is alive and dead upon this earth. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." The Lord shouted out to Lazarus, "Come forth." And one day the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the Bible tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. All those that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ will be risen from the grave. Their soul will already be with God, but their body will supernaturally join their soul with the Lord in the clouds. And those of us who are here on earth as believers will be caught up with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you're a Christian here this evening, I hope you're looking forward and excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we are not waiting the point of death. We are waiting for His return. We are waiting for the catching up of His bride. We are waiting for that wonderful voice of the Lord who will call us personally home to be with Him. So the Lord's call was a powerful call and a personal call. If we are saved, if we have Christ as our Savior, and if we die in this life, well, our testimony will be like that one of the one of David in Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because He is the resurrection and the life. David was sure of his salvation because he had trusted in the Lord. And David said, "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." If Christ is our Savior, He's always with us. We know where we'll go when we die. We know we'll pass through that veil of death into the glories of God. My friend, do you have that assurance this evening? And friend, if you're still alive when Christ comes as a believer, my friends, we will not walk through the veil of death, but we will be taken up through the veil of the clouds, my friends. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful miracle in the Word of God. Many more truths we could learn if we studied these verses. But Jesus said unto her, in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this?" What will you do with the claim of Jesus Christ? That is the miracle of the raising of Lazarus. But the question is, what will we believe? Thank God he offers eternal life today. Thank God he is a risen Savior. Thank God he lives today to save once and for all. Let me encourage you, if you have a doubt, make sure today. Receive him as your Savior. And Christian, if you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven, you know for sure that he knows your name, and that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, well then let's live as a Christian who has experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Friends, why is it that you and I can witness today? It's because we have a risen Savior. We have a risen Savior who is with us always. We have a risen Savior that is able to use us to tell others the wonderful message of the gospel. We have no power in and of ourselves, but because Christ is risen, he works with us. We work with him. He is our wonderful Savior. He is our comforter. He is our faith. We can fellowship with Christ. We can spend time in the Word of God and know him more. And we can say no to sin. We can have victory over sin. Why is that? Because Christ is risen from the dead. Christ conquered sin on the cross. Christ rose again and proved his power over sin and death. That means as Christians, friends, we can say no to sin. There is no temptation taken of such as is common to man. Amen? But God will always make a way of escape. He will always allow us to have a way to say no to that sin, to prove his resurrection power in our life. Yes, we can say no to sin. Let's glorify the Lord in our bodies and in our hearts. He is risen from the dead. Let's serve the Lord and let's watch for his coming. Because we have a risen Savior, we know he's coming again. If he was a dead religious prophet, there is no hope beyond this life. In fact, the Bible tells us, if the Lord is still in the grave, we are of all men most miserable. Our faith is in vain. We might as well just pack up and go home and never come back. But why do we meet as every believer did on Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week? My friends, that's because that was the day that Christ rose from the dead. He is risen. He is not here. And ye shall see him again. Praise God for the truth of the gospel. I trust that your faith has been encouraged this evening. I trust that the Lord has given you some answers about your personal standing with him. Let me encourage you to seek him this night.